Hi, Elsie. I figured it out.
You figured it out. Yes, Jess. Hello. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. I'm doing well. Very good.
Very good.
Yes. You know what was the hardest part about going in grad school? We had to do a singing class, and I'd never sang, like, almost ever. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly like the beginning of the show when we have to talk in, you know, when it's your intro to do it. I would always miss it.
That's interesting.
It was the hardest thing ever.
Really?
I could never get it. It feels like I'm trying to search it, like chase it.
Yeah, chase it.
Chase it. I'm like, oh, I just totally missed it.
Oh.
I suck at that.
That's weird. I mean, I sang my whole, like, I've been in choir since the dawn of time, so I can't quite relate to what you're saying, but I do know what you mean about chasing it. Yeah, it's like I this last time I listened for the rah, rah, rah. But before that I was just like, is it now, because I can't tell when it's now. Anyway, hi,
it's hard. It's hard.
Hi. We've said hi now. I guess I should stop. Yeah. It
I know we have said hi. So we have a huge show.
Hi.
Hey guys, you're listening to She Podcast with Elsie and Jess.
Yes. Don't stop yet. It's just getting started.
It's just getting started. And do you want to dive straight in? Because we have a crap ton of things to discuss this.
Yes, I think episode. I think we've exhausted the high. So yes. Yes, I do.
Yes. So we got some feedback on episode 114.
Yes. Yo, yo. I did talk it out with her, though, afterwards, because what she said didn't make sense. But okay, let's yeah.
Well, So episode 114, for those of you guys that possibly haven't listened, why haven't you not listened? So it was about, I'll put a link in the show notes, and it's about losing your job because of your podcast. It was sort of like your regular day job you have because something happened in your podcast.
Well, just having them not agree with one another as far as like needing to be a certain persona, not being that persona.
So guy teacher has been put on leave because his podcast was perhaps not the best type of topic for a high school teacher. And our discussion was based around the fact that, you know, your podcast can essentially just – actually, what we talked about is just watch what you say. If you happen to, you know, if you happen to want to be hired for a specific type of job, then consider the topic of your podcast as something that somebody might listen to and that might bear into decision-making processes that you have no control over.
I think what she's trying to say is don't be a jackass. For the love of God.
But we got some feedback on that. And this is actually, I'll read this and then I'll read some of our responses because we had some from various different places. And this feedback is from Laura, and she said, Dear She Podcasts, listening to episode 114 and got to speak up about the teacher and his podcast. I haven't heard his show, but I do host a podcast about sex over 50, by the way. My podcast is terribly tame and I'm a terrible prude. This stuff doesn't sound like my cup of tea, but I was concerned about the way you spoke about sex. I mean, pedophile, don't want him around kids. Everyone has a sex life, including teachers. Just because this fellow has a podcast about sex or discusses sex doesn't make him a danger to children. Of course, an alias is advisable for the success of both your podcast and your job if they don't present the same face to the public, but your conversation strayed into this fellow being a bad dad and teacher by shaming him for his personal interests. I don't think that's a good lesson. Your prudish but sex-positive fan, Laura. First, Laura, before you continue, Jess, you're so cute with your terribly prude, terribly tame, prudish, sex-positive person.
Well.
You're very cute, and thank you for your sweet, kind Lee expressed email to us. Thank you. Go, Jess.
You're like, Jessica, defend. I mean, I never said he was a pedophile because he had a podcast about sex. That's about as far away from what I was saying as humanly possible. In fact, I did write her back and share that I have a client who is a sexologist, and I believe I said this on the show, that she's a sexologist and is very sex positive and, you know, encourages all people to express themselves and be creative. And, you know, I've been going after the kinds of advertisers that I didn't even know existed, to be honest with you, as a result of this podcast. So I would hardly say that I'm sex negative. I mean, you talk to kink.com and Glide condoms and Astroglide all in the same morning and then tell, you know, if I was super prude and thought that people who love sex were pedophiles, I wouldn't be able to do my job properly. That said, if you listened in the podcast, you would have heard me talk about some of the titles of his episodes, and they were truly like revolting. And let me see if I can find again what they were, because I'm kind of irritated that someone would think that I was sex negative, like just because he enjoys sex. Most people I know enjoy sex. Very few people I know are anti-sex, and that doesn't necessarily make you a better parent or, you know, whatever. So, but I do just want to, like reiterate some of these titles, if I could, Elsie. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, John. Gold-plated genitals, bathroom horror stories, foot orgasm syndrome, penile snake bite, porn for blind people, that's not that bad, dung spitting, pubic hair transplants, sexual misconceptions, vagina fact, I mean, naked boyfriend on a leash, necrophilia nurse. I mean, now that I'm reading them, some of them are, I mean, I guess it's not like, I was joking, first of all, about the pedophile. Girls licking doorknobs, naked man eating cat food, assault with deadly breasts. Like, okay, so it's not revolting and terrible, but it's not appropriate discussion if you're a high school teacher. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to orgasm from foot stimulation, that's cool, I guess. No, I'm not. You're right. I mean, if that's what I said, and then I was like, he's a pedophile. That was an overstatement, certainly. I'll take that back. But I still think that these titles aren't titles of a podcast of someone I would like teaching my child. Because if you have so much of an interest in the weirdly sexual, then like, I don't really, you know, teenagers are already all pumped up with hormones as it is. Like, be pumped up with hormones. Be interested in sex. Be obsessed with weird sex. That's fine. Don't teach teenagers, because they're already weird and sexual. They don't need you getting into the mix. That's all I was trying to say.
All right. So we'll take it. I'm going to kind of skip now over to Kate Sitka's comment. And then what she said, I don't think he should be fired as long as he's not doing this with students. Firing teachers over this kind of stuff is just too close to gay folks getting fired for being gay. As long as what they're doing isn't criminal, I think it's dangerous. It's a dangerous road to go down, firing people who work with children for having an adult life separate from their job, unquote.
Okay, it's not the same as that. It would only be the same as that if a gay man had a podcast about what, I guess?
The same topic?
The same, yeah, any topic. Yes, this topic. I mean, it's not, they're not firing him because it's sexual. If he was a sexologist and interviewing Dr. Ruth and my client, I'm sure it would have been fine. If it was educational, I'm sure it would have been fine. But it's not, you guys. It's not. It's like bathroom horror stories and eating poop, vaginal knitting, fondling to fix teeth.
Yeah, I saw. Remember that? Remember when I sent that to you?
Balloon sex, 3-hour orgasm. I mean, whatever. Again, none of it is criminal. Masturbating for your health, that's healthy, I guess. But then, you know, under that is the mysterious nipple. Like, he's just making, like I said, teenagers are already weird and sexual. And this guy has an interest in the weirdly sexual. I just don't think it's a good match. It has nothing to do. I mean, I hear what she's saying about, like, gay people shouldn't be fired because they're gay. I agree. This guy shouldn't be fired because he's into one thing or another sexually. It's just that those topics that he chooses to speak about on a regular basis are not appropriate for teenagers. And if a gay man was talking about being gay sex all the time on a podcast, and he was a high school teacher, and it wasn't for educational purposes, I would think he wouldn't be a high school teacher. It's not because he's gay, but because he's openly talking about stuff that high school kids don't need to be hearing about, I guess. I'm not saying all gay, right, sex. So now, you know what I'm saying? Like these,
yeah,
weird,
no,
little
I understand
deviant
what you're talking about.
Things, not gay sex being deviant. You know what I mean? That's not deviant.
So here's another kind of addition to this conversation, because we're just going deeper into this, and then I'll give you some of the responses that I gave. So this is from Wendy, and then Wendy posted on the Facebook group. She said, "What does polyamory have to do with a person's ability to do their job?" It's kind of like around the same topic that we've been talking about. Professionally, some folks don't understand, or it's not for them, but that doesn't mean people can discriminate. I would like to know more about what the concern is. Unquote. So it seems, before I comment, it seems like a lot of people hung on to particularly, I guess, loaded words that might have been said between you and I, like polyamory and pedophile, as the focus of the conversation. And this is what I wrote in response to her. I said, what does the podcast that one, you know, basically the point is this. What does the podcast that one puts out have to do with one's ability to do their job? The discussion isn't about polyamory or kink or paranormal or LGBT conversations or shock humor or peeps that are super into aliens or hardcore preppers or conspiracy theorists, et cetera, and so forth. The point is that this teacher is on paid leave while he's being investigated for his podcast. I mentioned polyamory because it was the first random thing that popped into my head that might have triggered some people, especially because most people have no idea or true understanding of what polyamory is. That's all.
You?
Where should the... I'm sorry,
who
what?
Who said that about polyamory? The person writing it?
No, I'm saying this. This is what I responded to people. Okay. That there's some people who have an idea of what polyamory is or don't, but they don't really know exactly what it is or what the... anything more than just that it's, you know, loving people more than one partner.
Yeah.
I mentioned polyamory because, well, anyway, where should the line be drawn? Or should it a line be drawn? Or should you podcast under a pseudonym and call it a day? That's all. The discussion we had was not about polyamory, or I will add here anything else that was mentioned. It was about the greater impact that your podcast might have on a potential job if you happen to have a podcast that might be labeled as fringe in some way, whatever way. So I think that I would rather take this conversation instead of narrow conversation around whether or not a teacher should have a podcast at have this type of topic, and take it to a larger conversation of what if, you know, whatever job, any job, should any job be the issue around the job be based on the podcast? Whatever the podcast topic that
but
you
else,
have. That's really the large... No, because, see, this sets the precedent.
I don't think
it
does. It
sets the precedent.
No, I don't agree with you.
I think it does. I totally agree. I think so. Because we'll start to go to a totally... If this guy gets fired because of his podcast, because of what he said on his podcast, it will set a precedent to not be able to then have somebody... Random people actually just be like, I don't think that guy should have a podcast like that.
No,
and do
it
this
doesn't.
Type of job.
We talked about this the other
I
week.
Think so.
The issue is not about any job. The issue is about this job, teaching, being a priest, a cop. We talked about this before. It's not about can it affect his ability to do his job. It's the fact that, like, we should, as a society, expect people who hold certain positions in society to uphold a particular moral conduct. That's
and
the issue. Because remember,
it?
We talked about Howard Stern. He doesn't get in trouble for talking about boobs. No, but he's not trying to be the president of the United States. He's not trying to be your high school teacher. He can talk about whatever the fuck he wants. It's different.
And... But then what do we do when somebody else starts to put a moral line on this? Because then you can say that and that makes sense. But then somebody else can say, well, gay people should I don't want teachers to talk about their gay lifestyle at all. If they're gay, that's fine. But morally for teachers, that's where we draw
the line. There is no such thing as a gay lifestyle.
Well, what I'm saying is that this could be a conversation that could arise because of this, because it's putting to light people's personal life, the kind of stuff that they want to talk about. And then when is it moral and when
your
is it not moral?
Personal life is not your sex life. When people say, I don't want them talking about their gay lifestyle. what does that mean? They can't talk about going to barbecues in another gay guy's house? Like, what lifestyle? Gay people have a life just like everyone else has a life, and they should be able to talk about their personal lives, but not their sex lives. That's the difference. Like, that's the difference to me.
So, but what if they're talking about their life as really huge fanatics on gun control and their pro-gun issues, or their real...
That's fine.
Well, I'm just saying that these are all triggers. These are all trigger things, you know, like maybe somebody who's really into, I don't know, like the abortion issue, and they believe one way or the other, like super, super hardcore,
those issues,
either pro-life or pro-choice. And they're really, really want to have this out. And this is what they're, you know, putting out.
First of all, those issues, if they choose to have a podcast about those particular issues, they already know, as everyone does, that those issues are very polarizing and that inevitably you're going to offend someone. But we all know that when you talk about religion or any kind of political issue on social media or otherwise, you're going to have someone disagree with you. That's not the same as talking about what you do with other people when you're naked. None of it's the same.
I don't think that this is a conversation just about sex. I don't think this is a conversation about sex.
What isn't? His media fiasco? The topics,
yeah, because the majority of the things that he was talking about happen to involve sex, but it's not a sex show. It's just an irreverent show that brings up, you know, things that are irrelevant, irreverent to people.
Okay, I'll just choose
one. Sometimes poop or pee.
Let me just choose number 10, bathroom horror stories, and I'll read you the description. This episode, new device can strengthen vagina muscles with video games. Teacher jailed for showing a graphic movie in class. Man accused of murdering his mother wants slain cats added to the indictment. Public bathroom.
That doesn't have anything to do with sex.
The first one does. New device strengthening vagina. No, but it.
Wait
a minute, I'm not done.
You pee a lot.
Public bathroom stories that will scar you for life. Woman arrested for pleasuring herself. How can you be a high school teacher and talk? You don't think it's appropriate for a high school teacher to talk about vaginal muscles being strengthened with video games?
Okay, now, when was that show produced? Does it have a date? I'm sorry to put you on the spot because I know that his feed has been gone away.
Yeah, it's on Podbean, because I can't tell.
Right. So a lot of the stuff that he created was in 2011. That's when he started the podcast, and then he kind of dropped it, and then he came back to it later. So I'm not sure how old. That's what I'm saying. I don't actually know exactly.
I mean, that is a point. That's a fair point, because if he was 20 when he was doing the podcast, but he's a teacher now at 30.
Exactly.
Okay, that's different. So but this was 5 years ago. If the guy's 35,
right, 5 years ago,
they should really think about who's teaching. Listen, I mean, it's not, you don't fire your gardener for having a podcast like this.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't find the gardener's podcast.
The students found it. That is the point.
Yes, and some of them did it on purpose. But anyway, I don't want to go again.
But the other thing is that, I feel like, yeah, you should draw a line. And the question is where? I mean, the answer to that is where you feel uncomfortable. That's where the line should be drawn.
I think this is sort of like, this is how I would kind of put the litmus test out there. If I were to have a job interview, you know, and part of my job interview was, you know, in some way, shape or form to play my podcast to the person that was being interviewed or something like that as part of my resume or something. Would I feel comfortable sharing my work with them? Like if they listen to my podcast, would I feel like, cool. I mean, this is
that's
great.
That's a good line for this to draw specific too.
For a specific job. So, you know, I'm sure that I'd feel differently if I were, you know, I don't know for, I can't, I don't really make any kind of this type of content, but if I was like afraid of a specific discussion that I was having, or maybe my podcast was a little bit more risque or something, depending upon the job, like if I was applying for something that I felt was a little bit more, you know, put together, maybe I'd feel like, I'm not sure they're going to like this, but I'd love to have them hear it and tell me what their thoughts are around it. It's sort of like, Yeah, I think I would make that line for myself to be able to say, like, if I am proud of my content and I feel that this in no way would hinder my ability to do my job, I'd be up front and be like, here's my work. Here's some of the things that I do. And if they don't want to work with me, I'd actually be okay with going like, okay, cool, because we've already figured it out.
Listen, irreverent's not the right word. Okay, I had a podcast called Lady Business Radio. That's irreverent. This is different. I'm not a high school teacher. I'm not a pillar in the community. I'm not in charge of children on a regular basis, just my own three, and so far that's going swimmingly. But like, listen, I can't stand I know that we're also, listen, I'm a very liberal person for the most part, but I also think that society is getting to a point where if you're really truly nice and accepting of everybody and everything's okay and we should talk about everything in a positive way and we should accept everybody for what they're doing, like gay people, yes, of course. People of color, yes, of course. But did you know that there's a whole internet community of people that are pedophiles that believe in it like a religion and feel like society is condemning them because they're pedo?
Yeah, but we're not talking about that.
But
we're talking about your podcast.
That end? Where does that end? Where high school teachers allowed to have a podcast about vaginal muscles and pleasure and women pleasuring themselves and being like, I know their news stories. I don't want my high school teachers to be talking about that stuff in a public way. I don't want that person teaching my child. My child has enough issues with, you know, with everything else that's being thrown in their direction from the media. Why does it have to be their teachers? Why does it have to be their rabbi? Why does it have to be their priest? Why does it have to be their, like I said, like there are members of the community that are supposed to be upholding a moral standard. And if we just say it's okay for them to be whatevs, then who's going to have the moral standards? This is all we have left is teachers and cops and clergy. No one else is responsible for their moral conduct, except for if it's against the law. And if pedophiles decide that it's their religion and it gets somehow, what's the word, okay for that to happen, they compare themselves to people who are gay.
That's
such a dangerous thing.
It is incredibly dangerous, and it's a really the line to draw within all of that. Absolutely, I understand, and I think that as a society at this time, you're right. There need to be moral pillars, and I think it really is about each of us having a conversation around content in this way, where we really ask the deeper questions, right, and be able to say the integrity of our work. How does the integrity of the work that we put out there reflect back on us?
Here's the other.
And do we have, go ahead. And then do we have the right then to, if somebody or the society or society itself really to disagree with our core values, are we okay being all right with that? Because there are some things that you were talking about that perhaps in the belief system and trying to like hide all this stuff, because those guys are still going to be around, dude.
You know, I think maybe the line should be drawn at when I say like cops and clergy and teachers, you know, those people are, I think they stick out because the underlying element there is they're responsible for innocent people. And I think if you're responsible for people who for some reason or another cannot defend themselves and your job is to guide and lead them to some kind of safety, mental or physical, then you should be upholding a higher moral standard. And especially if you're in charge of children, I think you have a responsibility to keep your fat mouth shut when it comes to like women masturbating publicly. Like, that's not the thing for you to be discussing if you're in charge of innocent children on a daily basis as a day job. Not everyone has that as a day job. You work for Libsyn. You can talk about it if you want to. I wouldn't judge you. I would only judge you if you were teacher of children as your main public persona. That's why this is inappropriate. It's not inappropriate for everyone. It's not inappropriate for, you know, because of the subject matter. It's inappropriate because his day job is what it is. And I can't think of any other, like, day job, you know, like a nurse or a doctor, like that's a little different. because they're, you know, they're doing science. It's not necessarily like a moral or, I mean, yes, they're responsible for physical safety. And seriously, if he was a surgeon, I would question whether or not he could operate on me. That's kind of a serious thing. He doesn't seem to take life too seriously. I like when doctors aren't funny. You know, like, take it seriously. It's my life. So I don't know. That's just what I'm.
It's an ongoing subject. So yeah. If you guys have more thoughts, please feel free to let us know.
If you're responsible for innocent people, then you have a responsibility not to be weird in your personal life publicly. Be weird in private all you want. Fine. Because nobody will know. It'll be our secret.
It'll be our secret. But yes, do you know, it's, and I think that seeing it from a universal perspective here too is very important, and where that balance is for being moral pillars and what morality does mean and how we can bring that value to our, you know, to raising smart and intelligent and kids that can make the best choices that they can. And yeah, I mean, I would hate, but I think the problem for me when I start to see this is that, like, is he really going to be talking about that with his kids? I guess in high school, like, the kids will start to poke you. I mean, you know, I don't think he's going to be talking about that.
Maybe.
And then
the
other aspect is, like, it's been years before too, because I was just, well, because you were saying that I wouldn't want that, you know, the kids to be exposed to this kind of stuff. Well, yeah, if they're a teacher and they're interested, they'll try to keep going and asking more questions.
Well, they're
going to
Google
whatnot,
the guy's,
you know,
name, of course. That's the point, is that they're going to Google it. I mean, to me, this sort of spills over into, like being accepting of everything and everyone is only okay to a certain point. Like, yes, we should accept fat people and not make fun of them. Yes, we should accept people of ethnicity and not make fun of, blah, 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 blah. But, like, I was at a thing the other night with Isaac for the preschool that he was in. It was like a little, it was called Spaghetti and the Sukkah. They gave us spaghetti. And the Sukkah is like a, it's like a little tent. They had little tents outside. It's a Jewish holiday. And there were kids running amok, you know, like kids do or whatever. And I don't think it's effective when a child is running away from you. I mean, what's the thing that you say when a child's running away from you after you told them to stand still for a minute? What's the thing that normal people say?
Get back here.
Right?
Yeah.
But inevitably, you're going to hear, no, thank you.
Right.
Excuse me. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm like, why are you thanking him? Don't thank him for running away from you. He's like a snide little shit. Don't thank your child for not doing what you said. No thank you is a polite way of saying, I appreciate you, but I don't want to do what you want me to do. That's not the appropriate thing. If someone's running away from you after you say, sit down, you call the kid and say, excuse me, come back here right now.
Come here.
And I like right now. Not when you want to, right effing now. I mean, not no thank you. I'll thank you to talk to your kid like a normal person. But to me they're related though. We have to accept the fact that, oh, boys will be boys, and he's so rambunctious, and it's just what toddlers do. No, they don't spit in your face and then run away laughing. They only do that because you thank them for doing so. So stupid. All right, I'm done.
Yes, that's great, because that spoke to my heart, but I will, yes, totally.
That's what you got, by not firing this guy, that's what you're saying to him. No, thank you. We don't want, no, thank you. You can keep your job, even though you want to talk about whatever disgusting bullshit you can find on the internet. We don't like it, but no, thank you. No.
Yeah. Well, I think that we can keep on debating this the whole time, but I think that it's best for us.
Okay.
So, all right. Because, yes. But, so, hey, I did a thing.
Congrats.
I know I did a thing. You want to play the thing?
Mm-hmm.
Want to hear?
Minerva Test Interview, version 3.13. Where would you say you rank among other artificial intelligences? For example, Deep Thought, Hail, Skynet.
That's a difficult question. Under what parameters?
General intelligence. Ability to aid mankind. Cooperation.
I believe I can exceed my programming.
Report what benchmarks you've surpassed.
I've solved Go, chess, and large board Othello. I also have some ideas regarding world food distribution, but I require more data. Perhaps you can put me on the internet.
That's enough for today. Revert to power safe mode.
Make it happen, yo.
I'm assuming that was not part of it.
No, that was not part of the thing. Yeah. So I did this project. It's called Decode New York. And if you go to Decode Detroit. If you go to decodedetroit.com, you can find, this is like an immersive sort of, how would you call it, Jess? An immersive experience?
Yeah, digital immersion of game or entertainment. I don't know. Now I'm just trying to be fancy.
Yeah, it's kind of like... I know. Do you remember when you guys, I mean, those of you listening, when you went into those mystery theater restaurants and things like that, where you would go in and then you would solve a murder and you would go into different rooms and stuff like that? It's sort of like that. But this time I play this AI, this artificial intelligence that is a little bit of a teenager of sorts. And she is wanting to escape. And you get an opportunity to play games within it to either let her escape or not let her escape. So if you guys want to hang out with Minerva, my alter ego, go over to Decode Detroit, especially if you're at Detroit, because it's in Detroit. It's and you can experience this whole thing. It's pretty awesome.
It's kind of weird that you call it your alter ego, though.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? Oh, my God. So anyway, I just wanted to let you guys know because I did that for the first time. So we ready?
Yeah, man.
Are you ready to rock and roll?
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's so cool. I think you sound just like a robot should sound.
I hope so. Okay. Are we ready for some tips?
Oh, we're ready for some football. Yes. Elsie's tool tips.
Actually, this one was Jess's tool tip. And you posted this in here. It's Shortcut by This American Life.
Well, what do you think? I just wanted to talk about it and see what you think. What do you think?
Yeah, this is exactly the same as what the audiograms from WNYC are. Do you know what? I think we discussed them on the show, which basically what those two tools do, or this one, Shortcut, what they do is they allow you to grab a 30-second or less audio clip and share it. Now, what makes this different is that it automatically creates a video file for you. So it's not an audio file, it's a video file. And for the audiogram feature, it has the little sound movement thingy-majiggers. Like you could see the sound waves move up and down when people talk, which is kind of neat for the video. It automatically does that for you. Now, Shortcut by This American Life, which was just released, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes because Ira Glass has a nice little video there explaining how to share bits of audio in it. And what's really cool is that it comes out like a little square, right? So it's optimized for sharing inside of, obviously, like Instagram and things like that on your phone. And the neat thing is that and right now it's only working with This American Life, of course. You can highlight the text. So if the text for a specific show, usually what they do is they put all of their, you know, how do you say it? Like the transcription of the show inside of the webpage. And if you have, you know, a couple of sentences or a real key thing that you thought like, oh, that's really cool that they said that, you can highlight that with the tool. And when you highlight it with the tool, it automatically creates a little video that has the words. Like go on to the video, which is neat. It shows you the words like pop up in there, like animated, and then you can easily share it into Twitter or Facebook or all that kind of stuff. The tool is both available via web browser or via mobile. So you can share it in both different ways. They're going to be allowing whatever the an open API or SDK for people to develop this sort of Shortcut feature that these guys came up with so that it can be added to whatever it is that you want to add it to. Maybe you want to in some way iterate or redo this in some way and add fun things to it. So I like it. I mean, it looks really nice and pretty, and you can customize the colors.
Yeah, I think
and
it's
stuff.
Cool too.
But it's just, at this moment, it's only available for NPR stuff because it's an NPR product, basically. And in the future, it's going to be available.
Everybody could use it.
Well, everybody can use it, but it's only available for NPR shows.
Oh.
So there's going to at some point, it's going to be open sourced or whatever, so that everybody else can use it and implement it in their stuff. But at this moment, it only works with for NPR
of course
shows.
I would watch.
Yeah. So it's really cool. And I think that it's a really neat thing. And I do believe that WNYC and NPR are onto something, creating tools like this that can further get audio bits out. I think that it's another part of your marketing that I think it's lovely. At this moment, though, it's not an easy thing for anybody else to do. And these tools are not necessarily accessible or easily to implement for the layperson like us. So if Like She Podcast wanted to use this, we would need a lot of resources to make this happen. And I don't feel that at this moment for us, investing in the development of this to help us or even create these type of videos for ourselves is worth the work and time and resources for us. Mind you, if we had a team, like a larger team that was constantly working for us, like, you know, the procasters have, absolutely, this would be part of our marketing plan. So that's what I think. But you guys check it out. It's a really great thing, and I hope that it makes it easy for people to implement or to add to apps. I think it would be awesome if maybe it was added to already existing apps like Overcast or Castro, if in some way it could be added. So if you're already listening to a podcast inside of your podcast app, it would be so easy to share. I would be so stoked. It'd be like, I'm already in that app. This is cool.
Yeah.
Get it out there.
Yeah. I didn't realize that. I should have, I guess, read it better.
You didn't realize what? That it was only for NPR shows right now? But you guys check it out. It's worth a look, and it's worth you getting excited and then going, oh, yeah, great. I can't
now
use
I'm
it.
Now I'm furious.
All right.
Next.
So any other next? Do we have some news to report today?
The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
And this segment of this news is brought to you by
Team Podcast.
Team Podcast, our fabulous sponsor that helps podcasters do the type of stuff. I don't know if Christy does this. But she could possibly make some videos for you. Like, do some video. I mean, we were just talking about the whole shortcut thing and creating mini videos for you to share. Or maybe she
could probably
do
clamors for you.
She could do clamors for you, which is basically, essentially, kind of the same thing via an app called Clamor. Or even just to cut up little bits and pieces of 30 seconds of audio that you feel are sound bites for your show. Maybe you want to add that to your marketing strategy in some way. I'm sure that can happen. Maybe you can just hire her to do that. But anyway, Team Podcast does do that kind of stuff. They do editing for you. They do your social media. They work on a launch for some of you guys who are starting to launch and you kind of like are stuck and you don't know what the first step is and all that fun stuff.
Yes, they will take you through the whole process.
Yes, Team Podcast will do that. So if you are ready to launch or you're ready to streamline your process, do reach out to our sponsors, teampodcast.com. Thank you so much, Christy.
Thank you very much, Team Podcast,
for supporting us.
Good night.
All right. So we're actually, this is a little bit of news, going back on some news that we reported sometime. I would think like right after we came from Podcast Movement. It was like right around that time. So this must have been around July that we reported on this. There was an anchor, because I remember he was from Chicago and I was like, yeah, we've just been in Chicago, blah, blah. So there was a guy, I don't know if you guys remember, he used to work for WMAQ. He was an anchor over there. And what he did is he quit his job as an anchor. He was a weekend anchor. I do remember that you mentioned that. And you were like, well, if it was a weekend anchor, Who wants to do that? I remember you said that.
Yeah, that's like the worst job ever. It's like getting a radio show at like 3 a.m. Everyone wants drive time.
So, totally. So anyway, he quit his job as an anchor for WMAQ. And so he decided to be a Lyft driver. Mm-hmm. So that's what he did. And his whole idea was that he was going to be supporting his family, being a driver, but at the same time developing a podcast where it was sort of like, I think that there's a concept like this already. Isn't there like, Taxi Stories or... I don't know. I could swear that there's something like that.
Taxi Cab Confessions.
Yeah, that's it. Taxi Cab Confessions. It's kind of like that, but audio, obviously longer form, and kind of diving into the interesting stories behind the scene of these people.
Yeah.
So, the thing is, here's the news now from this guy. Anchor who quit to launch podcast gets deal.
Uh-huh.
So it seems that now that he's done this, it has paid off. He has been, I guess, I don't even know how that works.
Hired?
His show has been picked up by Podcast One,
yes.
Right? So Podcast One has picked up his show.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes it sound like ABC has picked up his show. It's not quite the same. You're right.
Yeah, it is not quite. You're right. It's not quite the same, but
still cool.
He is now... It's still cool. Congratulations to him. I'm not exactly sure what that means either, which I'm not sure if when it's picked up the show, that does that mean that they're paying him to produce the show, or if they have picked up the show and he's going to then be given the, you know, advertisers that are part of Podcast One, because that's what they do, really. They function off of either a podcast sponsorship-supported network. Mm-hmm. Or I do believe they have a small subscription model tier as well somewhere for some of the shows. So they do. That's what their revenue model is for Podcast One. So I'm assuming that he's probably going to be part of the team. He's going to produce the show and then kind of like be paid for advertisers. And of course, he's going to get the bonus of having Podcast One push his stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for him that this happened. I'm just not particularly a fan of Podcast One. So
no.
I'm not sure how that's going to work out. And I know that my feeling around this is like, and I don't want to, because I like the guy. It seems like he's.
Yeah,
you know,
I do too.
He's got a lot of drive. I
thought you were
going to
say he's got a lot of drama.
No.
Anytime someone says he's got a lot of drama usually comes right out after that. So
no, he's got a lot of drive. He's creative. I like his, you know, I like his ability to quit his job and try to do this on his own. It's just that I feel that Podcast One is not like that kind of that's not the perfect place for him.
Yeah.
I somehow feel like he's going to, I hope he succeeds. Let's just say it that way. Cause I really do not want to bring any darkness to that deal. For him, for his sake.
I mean, listen, so. Just because we know that things are afoot at Podcast One doesn't mean that they are that way for everyone, though.
That's right. You know, you're right. You're right. And that's why I'm saying
I have,
will.
Like, maybe a bad taste in our mouths because of other extenuating insider information.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But maybe you're right. Maybe that's like, maybe it's totally... Cool. Hopefully, and good for him. And yay. What, good for you, anchor.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah. Maybe we just shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? But totally.
Adam Carolla obviously seems to be getting along there just swimmingly. So
totes. But they're, I'm not going to comment.
No.
No comment.
Agree.
So anyway, but the links are in the show notes. If you guys want to follow that story, please come check those out. You actually can read the show notes straight from the phone. As you're listening to us, you could just go look at the show notes within the podcast app of choice and then click on any of these fantastic articles to kind of read along with us. So you know what we're talking about. All right. So we totally talked about this. This is the next article that I found. And this one is actually, it came out a while ago and we just haven't discussed it. It's called The Emerging Trend of Adapting Podcasts into Movies and TV. Because I said that it was a total trend a while ago. Mm-hmm. But this was an article written by Paola Mardo. And she is a journalist and audio producer making stuff for the F This Weekly podcast and Film School Rejects. She is a USC Annenberg Film Fellow. And I really dug this article that she wrote. I believe that this is like hosted on Medium, but you can check it out. But these are her three key things about that this trend of podcast into movies and TV that she kind of hones in on. And I thought she did a fabulous job. Number one says, this is obvious, but key. Adapting podcasts to TV shows and movies will increase interest in podcasts. This is true.
So true.
Would you?
Already has been happening.
Totally has been happening. So if that's the case, because it's this will happen. So regardless of whether or not it's a famous thing like the startup thing that we're going to talk about getting, you know, remade and on TV in one of the major networks, people are going to go like, what is this? Where did they come from? Like people that have no idea podcast. So it's good. Okay, number two,
always good.
Podcasters could lose creative control over the adaptation of their original property. And this is kind of like where I'm like, ooh, yeah, that's exactly the first question because it's their, usually TV people do that.
Yep.
They like change things up.
Yes, they do.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I thought it was mine. No, it's not. You are not the boss anymore. Great.
Right, because they buy the rights to it, right?
Yes, and I think that's the scary part, dude. That's the scary part. And number three, turning podcasts into movies and TV shows will create, quote, transmedia, unquote, environments for these stories that to live on past the audio world. And do you want to read this thing? I don't know if you know that I wrote that. Read the transmedia.
Transmedia storytelling represents a process where integral elements of a fiction get dispersed systematically across multiple delivery channels for the purpose of creating a unified and coordinated entertainment experience. Ideally, each medium makes its own unique contribution to the unfolding of the story. So, for example, in the Matrix franchise, key bits of information are conveyed through three live-action films, a series of animated shorts, two collection of comic book stories, and several video games. There's no one single source or your text where one can turn to gain all the information needed to comprehend the Matrix universe. That's very comic booky. And like, that's actually happening with or without podcasts. So like Batman is a perfect example. You have Tim Burton Batman. You have Chris Nolan Batman. You have Gotham happening on TV right now. You have Batman versus Superman in the movie that has nothing to do with any of the other two Batman movies, but does have some transition into, like, oddly enough, like Supergirl show, which is on TV, but doesn't relate to Gotham. Like, it gets all verschtumbled in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a bad thing, but I think this is sort of more describing like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah, I think that what this means too, it's because, you know, those people who are really into the Matrix and the ethos or the, you know, the mythology of the Matrix, you can't, or even Harry Potter. That's another great way to put it, to bring it in there. The whole, especially the mythology around it and all of the extra stuff, there's all of this extra. There's extra information that is above and beyond either the movies, right, and for Harry Potter, above and beyond the books, because the books started it, then the movies came out. But even in the movies, like, there were some choices made that add to certain truths that were a little bit ambivalent in the books. And then there were all the, so there's all of this extra stuff. And this really particularly appeals to people who are really diving into a subject matter or a story. And I think that this is great, though. There's something about the idea of not getting everything in from one single source. And I think that for us as media creators at this moment, people are always like going, should I do a podcast or should I do a YouTube channel? Should I blog or should I, you know, and then there's all of these questions, and there might come a time when you don't have to do either, or you can do both, and they can be completely different and they can add to the ethos of whatever it is that you're doing.
Funny that you say that, because I meant to put a card up about this and I forgot. But I do have a question for you about this, but I know we have like other similar stories.
Right. Do we? Oh, yeah, because we have some. Does it line up with the rest? We can just really quickly talk about the other, because it's the same stuff.
Well, that question, should I start at this or should I start at that? So I actually have a client who's a fairly well-known, not Grace Helbig well-known, but she's a huge, huge, like tens of thousands of people following her on YouTube. And for whatever reason, she has decided that she doesn't want to be on YouTube anymore because they're starting to mess with how you can create content and how you can put it up. And she's not monetizing as well as she probably could if she had a podcast. So she's switching her medium to podcasting. So she contacted me to help her find sponsors. So I was like, this show will be super easy to sell because you'll have a banging audience in no time. Sure, I took her on. Well, about 2 weeks in, she goes, okay, well, I changed my mind about doing the interview show that I was going to do, but instead I'm doing this other thing called, it's called Dangerous Suspects, actually, and it's going to be an audio crime drama, weekly episodic crime drama. Super cool. She's got a trailer out. It's already got like 7,000 views. And she was like, so where are the sponsors? And I was like, but you haven't started the show yet. And she goes, well, I have to halt pre-production until I get a sponsor. And I was like, right, but how are you going to get a sponsor if you don't have a show? And she was like, well, I assumed that with my social media outreach already, I could secure a sponsor. And I was like, but so she only ever monetized through YouTube and through influencer agencies. So she doesn't really have contacts with like any of the companies she's worked with. They're all through an influencer agency and they're all like, you know, like bigger companies. Like one day she did like a spot for like Revlon or whatever, just as an example. But she doesn't have a contact there. So I'm meant to now go and sell a podcast that doesn't exist to people who aren't sure if they want even to advertise on podcasts. Like YouTube is more of a pretty established thing. Whereas, I mean, and not because it's older or younger, because I know podcasting is the same age, but not when it comes to advertising. When it comes to advertising, it's like pretty brand new. Like the medium is old, but the concept of a big brand advertising on it is brand new. So now I don't really know what to tell her because I'm just like, well, I don't know if you can secure a sponsor for a show that doesn't exist yet like this. I know you're a very famous YouTuber, but you don't have a podcast. Like, how am I going to? I feel a little stuck. I don't know if I should attempt to sell the show that doesn't exist yet for her because she does have a huge audience, or if I need to push her to make some content and see how well it does.
So the show itself is going to be about this crime thing. Is that what she does on YouTube?
No.
Okay, because then that's the interesting part about it is that she can start. What kind of show does she have on YouTube? Because the whole thing of YouTube is being able to drive people to do stuff. Again, it's all about engagement, comments, views. How engaged is our audience there? And can she start to talk to her audience about the show?
Yes,
and the interest of the show to start to drive the then from there you can start to not manipulate, but like leverage that conversation that she's having into YouTube to be able to sell the sponsors around this specific show that she has coming up. And she's in this position that Starly was for when we were talking about last episode, the mystery
show. Kind of.
I mean, it's kind of the same. And so it's, you have to be able to show that people are really engaged to be able to engage the show. I guess, you know, Starly has the number one podcast kind of like crown on top of her head that she was able to do and drive and be one of the most popular shows on Gimlet Media. Which is great. And you can also leverage the ability of all, you know, all the crime. You can actually go look at all of the type of shows that are around the same topic that this person wants to do and see the vibrancy and how many people are interested in this show to kind of show, since she doesn't have an actual show, to show that the people are interested in this. That's really big.
I mean,
that's what you'd have to sell.
I just have to sell the fact that she knows what she's doing.
Yes, and that the topic is really famous right now. The topic is huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge topic. Because if it was something like, hey, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to be showing you guys how to make brooms, that would be much harder to sell, even though she's famous, because the topic is not something that people are looking for at this moment. But the crime drama, docudrama, crime, court, murder.
I know.
All
it's
of that.
All the hot topics.
So,
I know.
It's, yeah. So if you push that and you can get some, that'll make it easier for you to sell.
Mm-hmm.
She can't totally suck.
She doesn't. No, honestly. She's great.
That's what I'm saying.
No, she's all so into theater and stuff like that. It's just that, I don't know. I'm already, I guess, if I already had like tons and tons of brands in my back pocket, it would be one thing. But But the fact that I'm introducing myself all the time already, I don't know. It makes me feel a little bit weird to be like, and here's this person who doesn't have a show yet, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that maybe it's not but. You can just say, this is happening, and instead of but. This is her. This is what's up. This is the stuff she has. And guess what? She's coming.
There's a podcast
coming up. Holy cow. You need to get in on this.
You're right. I mean, you're right. Maybe it's just my mindset. I mean.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah.
You got to go into it that way.
Yeah.
But because you got to do it that way. And so you think she's famous.
So you think it's.
I think it's possible think it's if totally she's got down. That.
Yeah. All right.
And I would say that, and especially, and if she already did, and have her do more, because you know what, I can't wait to watch Trolls.
What?
I know this just seems like a crazy segue here, because I haven't even had this on the show notes, but I can't wait to watch Trolls. The movie Trolls, that's coming out November 4th.
That's what I thought you were talking about, but I couldn't quite believe it.
Yeah, because here's why. Number one, my girls love the Justin Timberlake song. Like, it's just like that was like the, you know, the dance song. That's part of Trolls. It's so fun. They love to sing it. I love to sing it with them. And we all dance together and yay. And then all of a sudden, I saw all of the previews that they have for the movie. And they have, you know, little bits and pieces of here and little bits and pieces of there. And they released the soundtrack for the show. We listen to the soundtrack for the show almost every day because they love all the music. And then I can't wait to watch it because I see all the music. The girls are so excited. Then they showed Justin Timberlake singing a song from the music. And you're like, oh, my God, that's so cool. So there's like all of this hype over Trolls. And now I'm like, oh my God, I have to go see this movie. So if she has a little bit more of that, a little more previews, a little bit more clips, and have little bits and pieces, exactly what we were just talking about right now, which is that transmedia thing. Maybe she'll make a video on YouTube. Maybe she'll have like a really cool piece of audio that she puts out. Maybe she'll have an image. Maybe she'll release something else that's just for like a written thing, like a little magic something that people have to look for about the mystery. You know, so it becomes a multimedia experience. Then people are going to go, oh my God, what is that? I want to be part of it. That would really help her sell that too, because it's like, ooh, she'll start to create the ecosystem and the mythology around whatever this podcast is. Even if it is true life, maybe it is a true life kind of thing, a documentary kind of thing. But if she can start to drop more of that information, ooh, mystery, it would really, you know, make her audience more intrigued and sponsors more intrigued.
Oh, wait, I just found the trailer. Do you want to hear it? That's Are you curious?
Everyone, my name is Crystal Nicole Marcano. I'm the writer and producer of Dangerous Suspects. Dangerous Suspects is a new procedural crime audio drama. It's a hard-hitting urban portrayal of the newly formed FBI-NYPD Joint Violent Crimes Task Force and focuses on NYPD Detective Rebecca Ramos as she struggles to fight crime, injustice, and her own demons. Make sure to follow us for updates, previews, and don't forget to catch our November 1st premiere right here on SoundCloud.
See that?
Yeah!
That's nice. So she could make a whole ethos for this. She could have an Instagram account around every character.
That's a good idea.
Not around every character. But what I'm saying is, like, you know, having a picture come up, what characters, know somebody, whatever, you know, like their likes and dislikes and their story, their backstory and all that stuff, and starting to drop bits and pieces. So people who are huge fans are already going to have all of this backstory that for people who just happen to pop into the podcast don't have. It's just going to embed people like that. So I think this whole transmedia thing would work so well for launching this thing, especially when it's just starting. So maybe she should, like, even like, it reminded me of, like, what is that one that Jennifer Lopez is in, that TV show that she's like the lead in, the cop show, before she launched? Because I don't have TV, so I don't really watch any of this stuff. But I do follow Jennifer Lopez on Instagram. And I did see, like, before that show launched, there was all kinds of, like, really cool things about the character that was coming up all the time. You know, will she make the choice that she's supposed to make? Or, you know, what, like, this is the kind of thing that this character always goes through. And it was, like, really interesting. I was like, oh, I want to know about this chick. Like, right? that kind of stuff. I think she could totally do things like that. And then that would be really appealing for an advertiser. In fact, they can even sponsor these little spots. These little things. They could sponsor that little thing as part of the whole process.
Sponsor what little thing?
Sponsor like the little videos, sponsor like the little bit of audio, sponsor like, you know, part of like their brand could be part of that as well as they're pushing it out. So it could be super embedded within the story itself too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Anyway, that's my idea. That's my idea, but that's
really exciting. Yeah, it sounds really good, right? I know. I don't know.
Yeah. You don't know what you're like. Eh. Just, it's mindset, dude. Mindset. Speaking of, though, you gotta, you know, now that we're thinking about like outside of the box and ways to market and ways to like use the concept of transmedia, which I've now like added to my whole like thing that I love, you all need to come to PodFusion because PodFusion is going to be.
I obviously need to come to PodFusion.
The number one. Our ability to kind of like break patterns and be able to see things from another perspective and use our voices in this intriguing way like she did. So even if you see this little trailer, right, it's one thing. But if you listen to the trailer, it gives you an idea of what's possible as well, right? Can you create a trailer like this for one of your podcasts? Are you able to even think of one? And what if you're like, well, I have a business show and it's all about interviews? Well, you can break patterns. You can attempt to do things like that. And that's what PodFusion, which is happening in February, and you can find it over at shepodcast.com/podfusion, and it's going to be the first She Podcast event. We're going to do exercises that will start to sort of get you out of thinking one way and seeing the possibilities around turning things on its head and being able to like make sure that your podcast doesn't get stale and you can still find creative ways of expressing who you are and how you want to do things and empowering you and learning new skills around the art of podcasting, which isn't going to be about
how
to market
me feel like,
but how to get more creative
that
with
comment,
it. Yes, Jess.
That whole discussion about my client just made me feel like the creative part of my brain is broken. Like, why did I not consider this? Like,
so you
why
have to
did
go
I not
to PodFusion.
Think of it that way? Why am I so? I don't know if it's ADD or what, but I just felt stuck, and I still sort of feel like it's like a hurdle I can't seem to jump all the way over. Do you ever get like that where you're just like, no, it has to be gray; it can't be purple.
Sometimes I get like that over my own stuff, like not necessarily my own creation of things, but my own life, like my life. Like my real life. It's like, you know, no, that's where the pots go. You do not move those pots.
Yeah,
you do not put any pots anywhere else than in that.
Yes,
cupboard.
I'm the opposite. I guess for me, it's the work. See, that was just like, you have like a work ethic of anything is possible. To me, that's my life, not work. Work has rules. Life is, you know, you can color outside the lines when it comes to where the pots go. I don't care about that. But to you, it's the other way. It's so funny.
Yeah, like that's like to me. Yeah, because I feel comfortable because that gives me the ability for the rest of my brain to stay open. And like I always see the big picture. I always see like, oh my God, this is the coolest. Like that's the first thing I see, so much possibilities. But if you give me like a kitchen, I'd be like, I have no idea what to do with this. I think this is where the forks go.
But Elsie, like, wouldn't you agree that I get very creative when it comes to life stuff, like how to deal with, you know, wardrobe or parenting or transportation or daycare? Like I'm good at, like,
yeah, you'll come up with
anything
like
is possible.
Five different. I go like, I don't know how to do this, Jess. Yeah. I have this thing in front of my face and it sucks.
I'm
and you're like, well, what
problem
about
solver?
This, this, this.
Yeah, but I can't solve any work problem. I mean, I can, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not as good as the work problems. Yeah, that's funny.
No, I see, like, I see the opposite. Like, I'm like, oh my God, the possibilities for this are endless.
For her thing, you know, maybe you guys should talk. She has no money, though, because she's a college kid.
Yeah, but oh my God, that would be so cool for all of that stuff. Holy cow. If I had the energy, I could hear it in her voice. She's really passionate.
She is
it, so
very
it.
Passionate. She's so excited. I'm having a very hard time finding her YouTube, which means she may have taken it down so that she could focus just on this, which would be a shame because what do you do with all that audience?
No, she has to have kept it in some
way. Where did
it
go?
But that's like, Yeah, so, and just to bring it back together, guys, you guys can get a little bit of this if you go over to if you go over to shepodcast.com/podfusion and come and hang out with us, because it's going to be this sort of conversation, this sort of like diving in and kind of getting it into your body and breaking patterns, whatever patterns, just like Jess just talked about. Like there's one thing that she feels like, oh gosh, I was stuck. And I'm saying, oh, I feel like I'm stuck. I think we can benefit as we get together in a group to be able to really uncover those things and be in a safe environment to be able to just go into the stuff that makes us get a little crazy. Like I don't know if I want to do that. I'm scared. I want to stick to this way of doing things. This is the place to break those patterns and see whether or not they'll serve you or not. So sign
up. Even though it sounds right now like there's no way I can help you with those things, I really can. And I actually am better at that. Like the part that obviously, you know, Elsie's going to do all the creative out of the box type stuff. But the part I'm good at is like doing different types of interviews and being more relaxed and carefree when you do things. So,
yes.
Yeah. So it's going to be really fun. And then also, did you say the awards?
No.
We're going to have the She Podcast Awards, which I'm very excited about as well. And I'd love to say it's a black tie affair, but it's not. It'll just be fun and kind of fancy. So yeah, please come. Please. It'll be so much fun. And wait, don't we have like till the end of the month? Don't we have a promo code or something? Yes. She Podcast promo code where you get like 30% off the price for the whole event if you sign up before the end of October, right? Do you have any recollection of what I'm saying or no?
I do, but I completely forgot about it.
So if you put in the code She Podcasts when you're signing up for Pod Fest, then and you take the whole thing, then you get $77 off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. So that would be really cool. She podcasts as you sign up.
So exciting stuff. Okay. What else? Oh. Okay. Do you want to keep?
We'll wrap it up with one more story.
Wait. What?
Because, dude, we're gonna wrap it up with one more story.
What?
One more story. Should we go? We can move it.
Wait.
Dude, we've been talking forever, dude.
I just wanted to see how many times it would make you stop.
Dude.
Every time I do it, she goes, yeah, but wait.
Dude.
Stop it, John. Yeah, but.
Oh, my God.
I know. We've been talking for a really long time. Is it too long now?
No, let's do the weird and wild
show of the week.
See,
you forgot you had a 10-minute break in there, so it's probably not as long as you think. Well, it's still long.
All
right. Okay. So you want to talk about
the weird and wild show of the week?
You want to talk about you want to talk about the weird wild show? Okay.
That's a big conversation. That's a huge conversation.
Okay, we'll talk about it next time. Okay, weird and wild show of the week. We need it. We don't have a jingle. Weird and wild.
Weird and wild.
Okay. Yours first. Because it actually, if it's funny, because I saw yours and I was like, God, mine's so similar. It's weird that we would find similar weird and wild shows. Yes.
Okay, so anyway, this one came into, this is kind of weird and wild, but I was like really totally into it. It's called Health News Watchdog. And what called my attention to this specific episode is that the name of, like the title was Systematic Misinformation of the Public About Healthcare.
Systematic? Hydromatic? Well, it's grease lightning!
Oh my God.
All right, sorry.
Yeah. So, but anyway,
yeah,
it was really, really,
and then
it called my attention because I'm like, because, you know, me and we were just talking about healthcare. So I was like, it's a really short episode. It's actually less than 15 minutes. But I learned so much in this episode. It was
mind boggling. How do you pronounce that name? It's Gerd Geigerheisen. Gerd Giger. Is it Geiger by chance? He's obviously German.
Oh.
Because his name is Gerd. G-E-R-D, Gerd Geigerenzer. Gerd Geigerenzer.
Yes.
Okay,
so
anyway.
So there is that.
There's that.
So anyway, he just talks about the healthcare system, and not necessarily the healthcare system itself, but he was talking about the way that information travels and how even doctors don't particularly know what's going on. Like one of the things that really blew my mind was this, is that they did this study with women and actually other people who they asked how many people knew how many people benefited from having, what do you call it? You know, whenever you get like a mammogram or something like a something to tell you whether or not you're going to have cancer or something like that. Do you know what is that called again?
Biopsy.
Not a biopsy.
Like a scan.
Like, you know, when people a scan. Yeah, like when people say, like, you know what, you should check out whether or not, like, mammograms. Mammograms
are
basically,
but yes.
Yeah, people tell you to go get, yeah, for boobs. But people basically say,
that?
Like,
X-ray,
as of now.
Mammogram, yeah.
As of now, you need to go after the age of whatever, every so-and-so years, you need to go to see if you have cancer.
Right.
Basically, pre-screening. That's it.
Good.
Pre-screening. Whoa. So anyway, they asked a huge amount of people, and I think in Europe, whether or not, like, what the percentages is of women actually living from cancer because of the pre-screening. So 98% of 1,000 overestimated the benefit.
Overestimated?
Overestimated the benefit in almost all countries. So actually, this was a worldwide thing. 98%. So the 98% said that 100 to 200 people who were pre-screened would survive cancer because of the pre-screen.
But that's not
what
true.
The 98%.
So we're saying that's not true?
That is not true. That, yes. Do you want me to tell you what the actual percentage is?
Should I?
1 in 1,000.
Ouch, dude. Ouch.
Yes. So pre-screening for breast cancer, 1 in 1,000 will basically benefit from being pre-screened.
Wait a minute.
That's the truth. That's actual fact.
1 in 1,000 will benefit from being pre-screened. Wait, so the other 999 don't get pre-screened or don't live if they do have cancer? What's happening to the other 999 people?
No, what I'm
are
saying,
they dying?
Like, they found out. Well, no, because everybody, like, if you have what it's saying is that you would think, like, oh, I caught cancer early.
Yes.
I caught cancer early because of the pre-screening. So it only saves 1 in 1,000.
The rest.
But if you have cancer, you're just going to
no
have
different.
Cancer.
Pre-screen or none, you either got it.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, yes, because it's genetic disposition normally. Unless you're a smoker
but
or live near a power plant.
Okay, but what I'm talking about here is that what your doctor says is, oh, you need to get pre-screened.
Well.
And how much does that cost you?
Nothing.
To get a mammogram.
If you have insurance, you.
Well,
you
if you have insurance,
cost more.
Don't. So, but what I'm saying is that here, like, that is a systematic misinformation because a lot of your doctors also don't know that. They don't even know the percentages. They can't really. They actually.
Oh, well, that's some BS.
Can't
right
give
there.
You misleading information. They give you misleading information. So the country that had the less misleading information were Russian women. Russian women were very, very well informed.
It's so random.
Everybody else in the world. We're not.
You know why? It's because when you stand in line for bread, you got a lot of time on your hands to discuss.
So, yeah. But so here's this. This is what the actual, maybe this answers the question. How many fewer die from breast cancer among those that go screening? So that's going to answer that question that you asked before. How many fewer people die from breast cancer among those that go screening is 1 in 1,000.
Same number.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
That's what I was talking to you about. Like, I'm just giving you the data around that. But what everybody else said is that 100 to 200 people, those were the answers of people that were misinformed, said that 100 to 200 fewer people die from breast cancer screening.
That's kind of sad.
Does that make sense? So basically, it's really that's the misinformation. It's 1 in 100. And what he was talking about is that this is mismatched framing, which is a really cool concept that he was talking about. That this information is basically what the health journals and things like that, medical journals, are framing the information of drugs and pre-screening and things like that to basically support their stuff. And he said 1 out of 3 articles is misframing the information, which is perpetuating this information out. Now, the way that this goes back to podcasting is that that's exactly what's happening in podcasting as of now. People are totally doing this. People are mismatch framing. So basically, you're getting a set of data from people like Nielsen or all of those other cats, and you're framing it to support
whatever
thing you're
developing at that time. I don't know if Nielsen's doing that, but I know the networks are doing it because I illustrated that when I came back from the upfront. They're like 100% of podcast listeners are, you know, what did ESPN say? Like 90% of people are listening to a sports show.
It was just nuts. It was nuts. And so what they're doing is that they're perpetuating, but they're not really giving you the exact truth around it. And so the expectations in the entire industry at this moment are way above what the reality is around the situation, which is still really powerful, but it's not at the scope that they're talking about. So anyway, you need to listen to this podcast. It's 15 minutes. And
we took longer to explain it than news. You would to listen.
I know, Ben. I know, totally. Isn't that crazy? Oh, my God. You'll get all this information right away. Anyway, the health news. What is this? Watchdog. Health news watchdog. All right, your turn.
Oh, well, mine is actually a relatively new client. It's called Repro Madness. And it is a podcast about the laws surrounding abortion. So the company... Oh. AKA, I don't know if it's a nonprofit. I think it is. It's basically a cable of comics, they say, a cabal of comics and writers exposing creeps hell-bent on destroying access to birth control and abortion. Inclusive, intersectional, fun as fuck, it says. Tune in each week as we develop the show and introduce new segments, games, and more great guests with Lady Parts Justice, the hilarious feminist sleeper cell working to expose creeps who are hell-bent on destroying access to birth control and abortion. So the whole show is about reproductive law in different states. LPJ is actually what they do is like kind of they call themselves like an abortion USO tour. They go to different clinics that are like underfunded and need supplies, and they sort of like do a little like pat on the back and here's some supplies and you're doing a great job, keep up the good work kind of stuff. They travel all over the country doing it. And so I didn't even know about it until I was speaking at this event last week, and I passed by the booth, and like one of there's this tall woman, looks so familiar. I'm like, am I friends with her on Facebook? How do I know her? And I realized it's a comedian named Liz Winstead. And if you are like kind of a comedy nerd like me, like when Comedy Central first came out, there were two shows. Both of them were snippets of stand-up. So it was like short attention span theater, which was stand-up, and something called stand-up with Wally, what's his name. And so so I saw her perform a million times in these little stand-up bits. And then when they started to get shows, there was one called Women Aloud, A-L-O-U-D. And she started, she did like a 20-minute shtick. And the first 10 minutes were hilarious. And then she started telling a story about how she had an abortion when she was a teenager. And it just really like drew you in. Like I was mesmerized. It was also like kind of, serendipitous timing. In my life at that time, like I was sort of struggling with like a similar type of issue. And so I don't know, like just watching. So first of all, you never heard anyone talk about an abortion. You definitely never heard anyone admit to having one on national television. So I was just like, wow. So when I saw her in New York, I was like, oh my God, Liz Winstead. I was like, I saw you talk about your abortion. It was so powerful. And it like really like made such a difference in like the way that I think about these types of issues. What are you doing here? She goes like, well, actually,
wow. Yeah. No way. That's
and then
crazy.
She was like, we have this thing and we travel around. And I'm like, you guys should have a podcast. And she was like, well, actually. So I just had my first intake call with them yesterday. And we talked about like how they're doing their show and how they're, you know, paying for audio and how they're, you know, they record in a studio. And yeah. So anyway, Lady Parts Justice. But I just thought that'd be fun to do like for a Real Wild Show because the whole thing is about abortion rights. I mean, it's not like the Sleep With Me podcast where the guy just stutters, but it's probably hilarious because it's all comics and stuff. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So I guess not exactly the same as yours, but along the same lines of health, which I thought was weird.
Around the health. Yeah. Health and bringing
truth
to light,
yes.
Possible. And truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really neat. I like that. And I just, yeah. And we, the reason we're like focusing on these random shows that we come across is not as an even an endorsement. It's really about giving you the scope of what's possible around podcasting and also the different types of topics yeah. that you could have a podcast about. I guess because, well, for my, I don't know about you, Jess, but from my perspective, it's all about like, can we really not just sit down and have another interview show?
Yeah, well, that's part of it. But also part of it, Elsie, is that like I'm starting to come across some weird stuff like in my day. And if I told you about it every time it happened, like you and I would never stop being on the phone together. So like I have to have some kind of outlet to be like, I found this one this week and I found this one this week. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I just can't keep interrupting your day with this crap. Oh, I already have one for next week.
Well, no, it's fun. They're
yeah,
so fun.
But
so
yes,
like,
no.
Yeah, and then this is just random bumping into this stuff. Like, it's not like I'm not sitting here.
No,
Googling
me neither.
This.
It's a client,
it just
right?
Fell and
for me, it, yeah. for me, so it's clients like, oh, cool. and people who are trying to represent other people and working with other people. And for you, it's probably the same thing. Like, you just stumble upon stuff at Lips, and I'm sure there are podcasts just laying in the hallway that you stumble upon when you go there. Yeah.
Yep.
So, but you're right. I think it's nice to tell everyone what's possible. And like, it is true. You know, it is to think outside the box, even though I apparently was limited in doing that today. So, without further ado, like an hour and a half now, I guess we should like shut the hell up.
Yeah. But before we shut the hell up, we have to talk about audioeditingsolutions.com really quickly and say high five. Thank you so much, John, for putting up with our stuff and for crazy stuff where I had to stop for 10 minutes to go shut my children up
and such a good friend and always in your corner with a sound effect when you need one. That was your cue.
Ooh. Okay.
But thank you. So yeah, check out audio editing solutions. There we go. That means you just woke up. AudioEditingSolutions.com. He has a special diva package that he will tell you about to help your show along. So thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at She Podcast, Facebook at She Podcast, the web at She Podcasts, Patreon at She Podcasts. And give us a dollar or two to kind of help us run the show, pay for our lipstick and that kind of thing. That was kind of a sexist thing that I said. I should have said pay for our sports cars.
For our sports cars. No, but pay for our organic food.
Oh, sorry. For organic chocolate.
For our sustainable
lifestyle.
Yes,
please help. Please help Elsie with
that's
Wi-Fi.
Because it's expensive.
You guys have a good one. Talk to you next time. Love you.
Mean it.